Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy!
Larger than a local pastor's marketing campaign.
to attract believers to his or her church. Not only did I see the banners, but I also received direct mail from several of the local churches that were undertaking the program. Although I thought it was a great idea, it did not compel me to call or to rush into a church to inquire for more information on discovering my purpose. Now, why don't we start here? Because there are so many books, there are so many tools out there that will help us to discover why we are here. And the challenge that I've always found is being able to carry through and to walk through on some of these ideas and dreams that we have as it relates to truly understanding our purpose. So I want to encourage you today to stay with me, because I'm going to walk you through a process of understanding why am I here and understanding even the word purpose, that giving it a different definition or a way of understanding it that will be much more helpful, I believe, to us in our ability to accomplish our purpose. So let's continue. Soon to follow, the church programs was a growing swell of grassroots marketing for the book. People were talking about it in coffee shops and reading it on airplanes. Perhaps the most notable piece of publicity about the book came when Ashley Smith talked the Atlanta courthouse shooter, Brian Nichols, into turning himself in. She said that she read to him from Chapter 33 of The Purpose-Driven Life. It was following this incident that I, too, purchased a copy of the book in order to learn about purpose. But like many others who buy books, we read a chapter or two and we relegate them to the shelf. I didn't finish the book. Unfortunately, it could not keep my attention. I also attempted to listen to the audio version that my husband purchased. It's still sitting on my desk. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. Nevertheless, I am certain that the book helped many millions of people, as it did Ashley Smith, who recalled this impactful words in a time of crisis as it relates to the purpose-driven life. Now, the purpose-driven life, when we think about the book, it asks a series of questions throughout and after each chapter to help the reader discover or awaken to his or her purpose. The questions included some like the following. Have you ever wondered about or felt confused about the purpose of your life? In what ways have you tried to discover your life's purposes but didn't find success? Why do you think people try to discover their life's purpose without turning to God, their creator? Now, when we think about that, I'm sure many of you have asked yourself that same question, as I certainly have asked myself in trying to figure out, why am I here? Every day we experience the loss of someone or someone who we know is experiencing a loss of someone that they know. And so when we think about life and our preparation for it and trying to understand the purposes of why we are here, it is very, very difficult, but also a part of life that we have to accept that death is prominent. It is going to happen. But in the meantime, we want to figure out why are we here. So when we think about our purpose and the plan that we've been called to, I found this approach difficult to navigate, so I put the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, down. I then began to pray and ask God for a definition of purpose that I could understand. I felt that having such a definition would give me clarity in order to answer these types of questions, like, have you wondered about or felt confused about the purpose of your life? And I certainly have, and I really began to think about what is it that I can do that can begin to help others to achieve and to accomplish their goal, while even myself, as I began to focus and to think about what my purpose and what my destiny was, how would I be able to achieve it and figure out who I am? Who I am. And so as a result of that, I began to search for answers to these questions, to gain clarity. In my quest, I did what most of us do. I turned to Merriam-Webster's for an answer. The dictionary indicated that purpose means something set up as an object or end to be attained, intention. Well, as you have probably guessed, I didn't understand that definition either. Back to prayer I went. Lord, please tell or show me what purpose means. To answer the question, have you ever wondered about or felt confused about the purpose of your life? I say, absolutely. Most often, because purpose had been poorly defined. Thus began my quest. I was determined to define purpose in order to help individuals understand the word. I resolved that if I could construct a definition that would help people truly understand the word purpose, perhaps they would have an easier time living lives of purpose. At 5:59 p.m. on May 8, 2006, I was penning a note of encouragement to a dear friend in her mid-50s. These are the exact words that I used to conclude the letter. You can spend the next 10 to 20 years of your life continuing as the problem solver to your children, who, by the way, will always have problems for mom to solve. Or you can get focused, find balance, and pursue the kingly purpose within you. It was in this moment, as I looked at the words I had written, that God answered my prayer. I was encouraging her to pursue her kingly purpose, and I asked myself, what does that mean? I began to record feverishly on my tablet PC what I was seeing in my mind's eye and hearing in my spirit. The words I received that day I now offer to you in hopes that they'll help you to define and pursue your God-given purpose and destiny. They have helped me to gain tremendous peace, clarity and direction in my own journey to understand and answer the question, why am I here? The words are as follows. Prayer. You know, prayer is a means of having a relationship with God. It is the instruction we receive and the communication we have with our Maker. Prayer involves us presenting our Heavenly Father with requests and petitions, and it offers us the comfort of developing intimacy with Him. Prayer helps us to think deeply and with greater clarity about who we are and what we do. It helps us to meditate and separate ourselves from the noise and the clutter of our daily lives in order to enjoy peace in our souls and the presence of God. Prayer helps us to learn humility so that our self-absorbed egos diminish, while at the same time increasing our estimation and appreciation of God's greatness. I want to take a minute and just welcome our guests to the show. I want to thank you for listening to us. I'm on page 118 of the book Woman Act Now. Our topic today is, why am I here? Understanding purpose, understanding passion. And I'm taking you through the process of understanding purpose, prayer, passion, persistence, and how it's going to help you to define, why am I here? By praying, we learn to be humble as we seek God for information. We admit we do not know. We request help for ourselves and others. Prayer helps us to develop a steady, faithful relationship to the character of God, and it teaches us how to hear Him. Prayer is my safest place where I experience, learn, touch, hear, and see what I am, who I am, and what I have to offer. Prayer builds my confidence to live, to thrive, and to be. You're listening to Anna, the Real McCoy. We're talking about why am I here, defining purpose, defining passion, defining why are we here. And I'm actually reading some of the excerpts from the book Woman, Act Now, page 119. Why am I here? So I want to thank you for listening to us, guest 2338. Thank you for joining us. We are talking about passion. Passion. Passion is the internal drive that is stimulated by forces that are positive and negative, external and internal. In order to be effective, passions must be intentional. Unbridled passion is destructive. With too much power and too little direction, it causes any plans or pursuits to derail. God is intentional, and when we allow Him to direct our passions and strong emotions, passion becomes the productive ingredient to achieving what we intend to do. Passion often breeds obsession. When you think about it, obsession is good only if directed toward the right target and to a healthy degree. An obsession dominates one's thoughts or feelings. It is usually a persistent idea, image, or desire. Passion breeds determination, distinction, and direction, all of which are essential for production and success. You're listening to Coach Anna. We're talking about why am I here, and I'm sharing with you from my newest release, book Woman Act Now, on page 119. If you're a reader of the book, you can join me there. But we're talking about why am I here and the purpose and the plan in which you have been created. And I'm sharing with you and going through this process of defining, really trying to come to a place where we can understand our assignment, because your assignment is not your decision, it is your discovery. When your heart decides a destination, your mind will design a map to reach it. And that's a quote by one of my favorite wisdom teachers, Mike Murdoch. And it inspires me because our assignment really is not up to us. It is a discovery. It is a process. It is a destination. And when you begin to understand the purpose in which you have been called to, you will also begin to understand the prayer, the passion, the persistence in which you need in order to get you there successfully. So now when we think about, I'm actually putting a formula together in defining the word purpose. I was talking about all of the various different books we read, from The Purpose-Driven Life to Finding Your Purpose and Seven Ways and all of these different things. But what does purpose really mean? It's a word that really throws all of us off kilter because we're so busy trying to figure it out, but nobody is defining it for us. And so I'm taking the time to help us to understand what purpose is, and that will help us understand why am I here. So when we think about persistence is the next thing that we're going to need in this discovery of our assignment and understanding why am I here. Doing what God tells you to do over and over, continuing in spite of opposition and persecution, means that you recognize resistance as a sign to encourage you to move forward. When we think about persistence, it is being able to do what God tells you to do over and over again. It is being able to stay on the mark, to do it over a protracted period of time. It means that you recognize, in order to persist, you have to recognize that there is resistance, and that resistance really is a sign to encourage you to move forward. Persistence means directing your actions to an intended result or goal, even in the face of difficult challenges and seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Persist until you succeed in all that you do. Romans 2:7 says, to those who by persistence and doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he, our God, will give eternal life. That's in the New International Version. Persistence is similar to perseverance. It's a quality that the author of Hebrews encouraged believers to exhibit. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. I want to stop for just a short minute to talk about, when we talk about persistence and perseverance in this word entangle, to be entangled with something means that you cannot get away from it. It captures you. It holds you. It bounds you. You become one with the thing that you're entangled with. And so when the author of Hebrews, he tells us, he encourages the believer to exhibit these types of characteristics. First of all, that we throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, there are two separate things here. When we're talking about being persistent toward the purpose, toward the mark, toward the calling, toward the thing that we have been called to do, we have to be so conscious to understand what is the thing that hinders versus the sin that entangles. They're two different things. Sometimes things hinder us, but they are not sin in our lives. Sometimes sin entangles us, and it's the very nature of the sin that keeps us from becoming and doing what we've been created to do. So I want to encourage you today that whatever it is in your life that has so easily entangled you and kept you from persisting and persevering to the purpose, I want to encourage you that Matthew 7:7 says that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And boy, when I think about the door being open, what it's like to me and what I see in my mind's eye when it comes to persistence and perseverance and those things that hinder and entangle us, I see this whole idea of asking and it will be given to you. It's like we're on the other side of things trying to handle it all on our own, when in fact we have the opportunity to ask and it will be given. When you begin to ask, seek, and knock, it is opening up. It is knocking down doors. It is on the other side of each one of these words, there is something available to you that you do not have until you begin to execute and ask, execute, and seek. That means you've got to do something. And literally knock, that means there must be an execution of a movement to knock, whether it's spiritually or physically, that the door would be open to you. These are the keys to persistence. You persist and you do not give up. Now I'm going to move on to the word purpose. Remember, I started this out, and if you started with us a little bit late, you want to go back and listen to this whole setup when we're talking about why am I here and what my purpose is. And so I'm going to continue with page 119, purpose. One day I was typing on my computer. I recorded the following words as they came to mind. Now, you have to understand, when I was writing this book, I was so excited about what I was receiving, because my prayer was, God, please tell me or give me a definition of purpose that I may help others become who you've called them to be, so that we can begin to walk in purpose on a daily basis, begin to fulfill what you've called us to do. So here I am, I'm sitting at the computer, and I just feverishly began to type these words. Godly instruction, I hear when I pray. Fulfilled intentions, reason for existence. Purpose is not tangible, it is movement, direction. After I typed these words on my computer, I recalled that quotation again by Mike Murdoch. Your assignment is not your decision, it is your discovery. And I added this statement directly above the information I had just typed. That godly instruction, I hear when I pray. Fulfilled intentions, reason for existence. Purpose is not tangible, it is movement, direction. Oh, let me tell you, I was getting so excited about purpose and what God was given me. I was all stirred up on the inside of me that your assignment is not your decision. It is your discovery. It's finding this thing out on a daily basis, living in your now. And I added that statement that Mike Murdock, the quote, that it's not your decision, it's your discovery. Then I knew I was on to something because I also know what I'm hearing from the teacher. These words were moving in my spirit, and my head was going crazy. It was like finding the winning word that starts with an X or a Z in a game of Scrabble. If you ever watch Soul Train, you remember when they used to unscramble those words. It was like I could see all the letters coming together and finding out a solution and an answer. I had to assemble my thoughts. I was after a definition of purpose that I could relate to and that others would benefit from. I started reorganizing my thoughts about prayer, passion, persistence, and purpose in order to develop a definition of the elusive word purpose. As I arranged my thoughts like pieces of a puzzle, I finally fit them together in a format simple enough for me to embrace, remember, and follow. This is what I discovered. Purpose, the definition of purpose, is a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. Let me say it again. Purpose defined, a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. You have to understand this definition encompasses prayer represented by godly instruction. Remember I said that prayer is my, when I sit, I pray is having a relationship with God. It is the instruction we receive in communication we have with our Maker. Prayer involves our presenting our Heavenly Father with requests and petitions. It offers us the comfort of developing intimacy with Him. Prayer helps us to think deeply and with greater clarity about who we are and what we do. It helps us to meditate and separate ourselves from the noise and clutter of our daily lives in order to enjoy peace in our souls and the presence of God. Prayer helps us to learn humility so that our self-absorbed egos diminish while at the same time increasing our estimation and appreciation of God's grace. Now remember, purpose, it is a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. So that definition encompasses prayer, represented by godly instruction, passion. Passion is an internal drive that is stimulated by the forces that are positive and negative, external and internal. In order to be effective, passion must be intentional. Unbridled passion is destructive with too much power and too little direction. It causes any plans or pursuits to derail. God is intentional, and when we allow Him to direct our passions and strong emotions, passion becomes the productive ingredient to achieving what we intend to do. Now listen carefully. That formula is prayer, passion, persistence will lead us to purpose. Because we say that when we pray, it causes us to think deeply and with greater clarity about who we are and what we do. When we think about passion, passion must be intentional. God is intentional. And when we allow Him to direct our passions and strong emotions, passion becomes the productive ingredient to achieving what we intend to do. So it's the productive ingredient. It's the thing that's going to get you moving, that's going to drive you in a direction. When we think about the psalmist David, David said, the one thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And it's this passion that one thing I desire. Desire is represented by passion. By passion, the thing that will cause me to get up and move and do it when I don't feel like it. When we think about the next thing is persistence. In this definition, purpose is desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. Passion is represented by desire. Persistence is represented by the act of directing mind and heart. And I talked about persistence. It's doing what God tells you to do over and over again. It is obedience. It is your continued movement, your continued struggle, your continued overcoming, your continued resistance against those things that are resisting you. And then we talk about purpose itself is represented by fulfillment. Most of us, when we think about purpose, we're no longer are we just seeking to accomplish or to be. We really want to be fulfilling the instruction we receive through prayer and meditation with God. When I think about it, as I do this in my own personal life, of this desire of mind and heart directed toward the fulfillment of godly instruction, when I do this, I really rely on him. And my former frustration with trying to discern God's purpose for me is being transformed into a joyful journey of seeking him for instruction in pursuing my passion. And based on this new understanding of the word purpose, my responsibility has really become to direct my passions, and when I hear or know what I am to do, I persist until I get it done. If I succeed in following the instructions I have received, I am living my life on purpose. It's purposeful. So now, when I think about this, when I think about this concept of living my life on purpose, no longer am I trying to just figure out, and I'm not asking that question, what was I created to do? Because I'm consistently spending time in prayer, bridling my passion, directing this passion based on the instruction that I receive. I do it with persistence because I remember the instruction I have received, and my endeavor is to find fulfillment in my obedience, in being able to complete what God has called me to do. So when we apply this definition and concept to our own lives, then we can begin to live a purposeful life. We can begin to live our life on purpose. So let me share with you just a couple of ways, two or three ways that we can begin to develop or live a purposeful life. One, develop a prayer life. Prayer can be whatever you think it is to you. But here's an example. Finding time to silence the external sounds in your life, the hustle and the bustle of your home, your workplace, or your vehicle. Escape to a quiet place where you can be intentional about stirring up and sustaining conversation with God. More than anything else in our lives, we need to hear the voice of God. There are many ways to pray. You can speak audibly or silently. You can say short prayers throughout the day or compose long, heartfelt cries to God. You can even write your prayers in a prayer journal. Find the method that is most comfortable for you, making sure to include components of worship, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication at some point during the day. I remember early on in my Christian walk, in the ministry in my early 20s, and learning how to pray, learning how to rise up early, and at one point I was really bound by this whole idea that I would have to arise early in the morning before I did anything else to pray for a long time. And when I didn't get up, boy, it would just drive me nuts. It would put me in such bondage until I remembered that you can pray without ceasing, that you can continue to pray throughout the day, and that God hears your prayer, whether you're driving down the street, whether you're riding in a subway, whether you're walking along a path, God hears your prayer. So I want to encourage you to find the method that is most comfortable for you. The more you pray, the more your prayer life will emerge as a closer intimacy with God. In time, not only will you pray during the quiet moments you set aside, like I said, that's what I learned. The more I began to pray, the more I began to think about God, the more I would submit. In just the moment when a thought, when an idea, when a person or something came to my mind, and I would just begin to pray, the more I prayed, the more my prayer life became closer and intimate with God. In time, not only did I begin to pray during the quiet moments I set aside, but I also would find myself praying in the midst of turmoil or even during many mundane tasks. You know what I'm saying, sitting up here doing those things that you have to do, whether it's washing the dishes, sweeping the floor, cleaning the house, taking care of your loved ones. You began to understand the power of prayer in your life. Conversation with God will become almost automatic and ongoing. I want to encourage you, if you're listening to me today, I want you to encourage you to follow Pray Saints on Twitter. Become one to follow for prayer and also one who will follow to pray for others. It's Pray Saints at Twitter.com or Twitter.com/PraySaints. So at any given moment when we receive a message on Pray Saints, there are intercessors available to pray. Just stop and pray, because we believe that prayer is purposeful. Make sure that when you do pray, you're not doing all the talking. We've got to learn to listen too. One of my mentors, Al Hollingsworth, really taught me how to listen, how to sit quietly and begin to listen for the voice, for the quiet whisper of God. He would tell me, just be still, Anna, be still. He'd tell me to come sit right next to him, put my feet flat on the floor, put my hands on my lap, and just be still, Anna, be still. And he would tell me, just be still, listen, listen, listen. And so before long, it took me a while because, you know, I'm pretty active, and he said, just be still, listen. So we have to understand that when we pray, we have to make sure that we are not the ones that are doing all the talking, that we must learn to listen. One of the statements I make when I'm busy telling God about my life, as if he doesn't already know the details, is to consciously say, I consciously say in those times where I have to quiet myself and just be still, Anna, be still. Say to myself, be still. Speak, Lord. Your servant is ready to listen. In the Bible, you know, Eli told Samuel that if he heard God's voice, he should say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And as I listen, I have a pen in hand to make sure I hear and write down my instructions. Let me go back. Remember I said that when it comes to purpose, purpose is a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. So when I pray, I sit there with a pen and a piece of paper, the hand of a ready writer, to receive the instruction that God has to give for me, so that every day we can release ourselves from the bondage of trying to achieve at a destination and really begin to live out what God has called us to do as it relates to the instruction that he gives us for us to live a life on purpose. God is a God of now. There's only the now. You have no past. You have no future. God is a God of now, and he wants to give you your daily bread. He wants to give you your instruction. So when we think about purpose, it is a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. Number two, you're listening to Coach Anna on Woman Act Now Radio on The Real McCoy Show, and we're talking about why am I here? Understanding our purpose, understanding the ingredients that will help us to achieve our purpose. And I am presenting to you that purpose is a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction, an instruction that we must be in pursuit of on a daily basis because we serve a now God. God is a God of now. He is intentional about everything that he does, and he is intentional about giving us our daily instruction to move and to do and to obey what he tells us to do so that we will live a life on purpose. Don't get it confused with the fact that he's going to give us something new every day. He may give us something to do, and it may require many steps. It may require time in order to achieve it. But the key here that I want you to walk away with is the fact that purpose really is a desire of mind. It's having a mindset that desires to hear the instruction of God, desiring to get in alignment with what God calls you to do, and finding your fulfillment in godly instruction and obeying that instruction. So the next thing of living a purposeful life is number two, proceed passionately based on the instruction you receive. Look for passion. It rarely hides itself. Passion is such a present emotion that it will easily accompany instruction. Remember I said that passion unbridled will derail any particular plan you have. We are like when you think about to get a visual of that when God gives you an instruction, you are like a wild stallion full of energy and power and enthusiasm and passion, ready to go after that thing, the desire, but running wild. But in order to achieve what God wants us to do, we are going to have to bridle that emotion. When I talked about the word obsession, when you look up that word obsession, it is where your mind is so focused on a thing. An obsession is great as long as it is healthy. If you have an obsessive behavior for your purpose, I'm here to applaud you. If you're obsessive about other things, then that may not work well for you. You might become obsessive that will elevate into something else, like being a stalker and some crazy individual who is so obsessive with their behavior, doing things, just, you know, compulsive behavior. I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about the characteristic of obsession as it relates to your purpose and your passion to pursue what God has for you to do. Obsession, really, it causes you to really become very focused on a particular thing. So obsession is not bad. Really, an obsession dominates one's thoughts or feelings. It is usually a persistent idea, image, or desire. So when we become obsessive and passionately involved in pursuing this instruction that God has given us, now that's a good thing. Why? Because it will dominate your thoughts. You will be enthusiastic about your day. You will have entheos within you. That means God within us. Being enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. You can't just be enthusiastic and just not be it. Because as you begin to move and do what you've been called to do, you have this present emotion of passion. And when you have it, it will easily be accomplished or accompanied by instruction. You have to learn to recognize your passions by considering what you love, what you say or see over and over again. And what I mean by that, when you're trying to figure out, what am I passionate about? What is that thing that dominates your thoughts, your mind, your heart? What is that thing? That's what you're passionate about. And that's what you have to begin to pursue. That which captures and holds your attention is where your heart should be. If it is healthy, if it is a godly pursuit and a godly passion, because many of us have ungodly passions that are capturing our attention. But I want to encourage you to look at a godly behavior, a godly instruction that captures your attention. Be sure to ascertain that your passions are driven by the instruction of God rather than by your five senses or by negative external forces. And what do I mean by that? When we think about our five senses, it's either God's word or your five senses. When you respond to God's word, then you're going to respond to a godly passion. You're going to have godly actions. You're going to achieve the godly purposes and the things that he desires for your life. When you follow after your five senses, your thoughts, your sight, your taste, your hearing, your touch, all of those things that will stimulate you from the outside, those external things, then you're going to have to question when you get to your passion, is this a godly passion? Am I reacting and responding to an instruction from God versus what I see, what I feel, what I taste, what I touch? When you respond to your own five senses, then you will have a external or you will have an ungodly passion for that thing that will cause you to have ungodly actions that will ultimately lead you to ungodly things that will develop your character, ultimately your destiny in your life. So it's up to you to determine when you're in pursuit of passion and living a purposeful life that you have to determine which will you choose, God's word or your five senses, to drive your passion. The third thing is, get moving. Many of us, we go into this place of prayer and we never come out. Remember I said that prayer is the safest place that I would want to be. To hear the instruction, I see it like this. Prayer is the opportunity where we can go in and we can hear God, we can see, we can participate, we can experience the intimacy of God. We can dream big, we can see, we can get into what we call the I factor zone, we can go to dreamland, we can create all the conditions to dream. And we stay there, most of us, because you know what? It's easy to stay in that place because it's a safe place. But see, when we go to this place of prayer and we have this communication with God in order to get the download of what he wants us to do, to get the instruction, yes, it's safe there, but it's meant to get you moving beyond that moment. When Samuel spoke to Eli and he says, when you hear him calling your name again, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is ready to listen. As he began to speak, God never speaks without instruction, without confirmation, without affirmation, without something for you to do, something for you to examine, something for you to contribute, something for you to deliver to the world. And so when you are in that safe place, that is a safe place. But at the end of the day, you've got to get moving. You've got to pursue your journey with persistence. Are you moving? Remember, it is not the destination, but rather the journey that will yield many of life's rewards in the many purposeful moments that you will experience. Purpose is not what you are or who you are. It is what you are doing or completing or where you are going. Remember again, purpose is not what you are or who you are. It is what you are doing or completing or where you are going. Purpose involves aligning your mind with your heart to determine the direction in which you will move. Take it step by step as you receive information and instruction. Your assignment is really a discovery. It is an exciting journey of developing a life of prayer, meditation, and communication with God. What is truly important, really, is finding peace, fulfillment, and meaning, none of which is accessible without the presence of God in our lives. Grabbing hold of what you hear and trusting your God-given passions as you pursue the things you desire with persistence will help you live the intentional life you were born to live. I want to close today by encouraging you to visit Woman Act Now, purchase your copy of the book Woman Act Now, that you might learn, launch, and live your dream. I want to invite you to our 15 Minutes to Destiny, a live call on Mondays at 12 noon Central Time, Central Standard Time. In addition to that, we have Woman Act Now prayer group on Thursday mornings at 5:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, as well as 5:30 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, that you can be a part of. Our whole intention in praying in our prayer group, this particular prayer group, is to encourage women to be the very best that they can be, to pray them through the gap of execution, to be conscious, to value education, to think creatively, to master execution, to dream bigger, to just do it, to give more than required, to be a person of intentional integrity, to be a woman of an excellent spirit, and to be a woman of your word. So if you want to join us on Thursday morning prayer, you can do that. You can send any of your prayer requests. This is about your destiny. It is about your purpose, that we might pray with you that you are able to execute on the dreams and the visions that you need to do in your life. So we want to be there for you. You can send your prayer request to @PraySaints on Twitter. We'll get those. We have intercessors who are available 24/7 immediately when they see it, so it doesn't matter when you send it. Someone around the world will be praying for you. And so if you join us on Thursdays, you can go to our website at womanactnow.com. You can get all of the information there, and you will be encouraged to move forward in your destiny, move forward in your purpose. So we are going to finish our program today, and we just want you to know that you are loved and appreciated. And I want to finish with this last piece. Again, your assignment is really a discovery, an exciting journey of developing a life of prayer, meditation, and communication with God. What is truly important is finding peace, fulfillment, meaning, none of which is accessible without the presence of God in your life. Grabbing hold of what you hear and trusting your God-given passions as you pursue the things you desire with persistence will help you live the intentional life you were born to live. So purpose, defined, is a desire of mind and heart directed for the fulfillment of godly instruction. I'm going to leave you with this quote by Pastor A.R. Bernard. Quite often, we reach that intersection where our gifts, talents, and abilities meet to change the world in ways we never expected, by A.R. Bernard. I want you to think more deeply about your purpose, about your call, about what it is you are to achieve, so that your talents and your abilities and your gifts will collide at an intersection in your life that will change the world, because you are a woman who is living life on purpose. So God bless you. You're listening to your coach, Coach Anna McCoy, on Woman Act Now Radio. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. Same time, same day, Thursday at 1 p.m. Be blessed and tell a friend. Please mark us as a favorite if you're enjoying the show. God bless. Bye-bye.